This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? That's real news.
All right, it's we're a day away from the trade deadline and it is cooking. How about this? Just breaking. The Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, they're at it again. The Dallas Mavericks are trading 10-time All-Star Anthony Davis to the Washington Wizards as part of an 8-player trade. The same Anthony Davis they traded Luka Doncic for last season.
What the hell is Cuban doing over there?
It's not Cuban. And it's not the old GM anymore. But, yeah, this is part of an 8-player trade. The Mavs will receive. Now, they got some players, though. Chris Middleton, A.J. Johnson, Malachi Branham, Marvin Bagley III, two first-round draft picks, and three second-rounders. That's at least a haul. What they did last year with Luka and essentially Anthony Davis was a terrible deal. This, I mean, Davis, when he plays, he's good. He doesn't play very often. You got two more draft picks. I still think that this is a conspiracy. That the Mavs got some kind of deal. Hey, get Luka to L.A. and we'll take care of you. Because they got Cooper Flagg. Now they got two first-round draft picks coming up. And they're going to get some Chris Middleton?
Yeah.
Malachi Branham? Very interesting. The Wizards also acquired Jaden Hardy, D'Angelo Russell, and Dante Exum in the trade. So, bye-bye Anthony Davis. But at least you're getting first-round draft picks out of the whole deal. Last night, according to Shams of ESPN, Clippers trade James Harden to the Cavs for Darius Garland. 11-time All-Star guard James Harden wanted out. He got out. He's going to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Darius Garland and a second-round pick, sources told ESPN. He had veto power. Harden had veto power over any trade because of the nature of his contract. He worked through his exit with the Clippers over the past few days, resulting in an outcome both sides are reportedly happy with. So Harden moving on to another team that feels like it's a win-now mode. And he's still playing at a pretty high level. The Clippers, though, I mean, he's been an all-star a couple times. That's kind of a future piece for the Clippers because they weren't going anywhere. They were kind of hot the last week or two, but the Clippers aren't going anywhere. So, I mean, for the Clippers, it makes sense. If Harden wants to be gone and you're not going anywhere right now, you might as well try to get a little bit younger and think about the future. Yes, Michael.
Has James Harden won a championship?
No. He went to one. I think he was with the Thunder when they... Wasn't that when they had the three-headed monster of Russell Westbrook, KD, and James Harden when he went and they played... Who did they play? That would have been LeBron's team, right? That would have been the Heat, probably, right? I believe so. The Miami Heat.
And they couldn't take the Heat.
Yeah.
So they left the kitchen.
Yep. Washington Post eliminates sports department amid mass layoff. The Washington Post announced this morning that it eliminated its sports department, part of a mass layoff in one-third of its staff across all departments. Some sports reporters will move into other roles amid large-scale cutbacks by the Post newspaper. The Post currently has reporters on-site covering the Super Bowl in California and the Winter Olympics. These moves were expected for several weeks since word leaked out that the Post had told its sports staffers who had arranged to cover the Olympics that they would not be going. After it became public, the Post reversed course and said it would still be sending a limited staff. Well, the reason this is a big story, I mean, it's the Washington Post and it's the sports department, Mike.
That's a big newspaper.
It's a very big newspaper.
I guess Jeff Bezos doesn't like sports.
Or newspapers being able to fund a lot of writers. I mean, they're going to keep guys on staff, but they're probably going to... It's kind of like... I don't know if you watched the sitcom The Paper yet. I watched the first episode. Basically, that paper was becoming National Enquirer, People Magazine, that kind of stuff. So it was a local paper that was basically just turning into... Find out how much Ben Affleck tips the waitress. Like those kind of stories. You know what I mean? You see those all over the place. And so the premise of the story is this new guy comes in and he's like, no, I want it to get back to what newspapers are all about. And that's reporting on getting news stories, real news stories, in-depth news stories, getting, you know, following sports teams and getting in-depth sports coverage. So it's kind of the opposite here, at least for one portion of it. This is something, Mike, that will continue to happen. Now, I've said this about local writing and local radio. There's always a need for it. There's always a need for it because you can listen to big national radio shows, and for here for Northern Colorado, you can even listen to Denver radio shows, and you probably do. That's fine. They're not going to talk about a lot of the local stuff going on. You know, yesterday we spent 30 minutes talking about whether or not the Colorado Eagles might or may or may not or should not move to Greeley, Colorado. You're not going to get that nationally. You're not going to get the Broncos Stadium talk nationally. And when it comes to sports reporting, you're not going to get the local touch in the newspapers. You know, our friend Kevin Lytle. Like those kind of guys. This is why when you see newspapers, they obviously make money off of advertising, but they also charge you a subscription. And when you complain about that, this is why they do it. Because the advertising alone that they're selling to put on the newspapers isn't enough to pay enough reporters. So when you see a subscription-based local newspaper and you complain about it, if you don't want to pay for it, you don't want to pay for it. It's America, Mike. It's America. If you complain about it, what the hell, man? I'm not reading that. You got to pay. That's because the writers do that for a living. They don't do that as a hobby. I mean, Kevin Lytle is on the road all the time, and it's not for vacation. You know, he goes to the game, leaves the game, goes to a hotel, goes to sleep, gets up early, gets on an airplane, comes back. And then write stories. I mean, I've seen that guy. I'll leave the stadium, you know, during a CSU football game. Maybe the game gets over at like 9 or 10. Kevin's not leaving there until midnight or 1. Because they're staying there and they're writing their stories in the press box, all that stuff. They work hard, man. Takes a lot of time and energy to follow teams and tell the stories of these teams and report on these teams. And that goes for the news as well. So I'll be... interested to see. I mean, that's the Washington Post, Mike. If they're saying they're not going to have a sports section anymore, or will they just put it all on AI? If they can. I've seen AI stories even in ESPN.
AI stories are terrible.
They are awful. They'll say things like, the Broncos won the game 17-7 over the Raiders who lost the game to the Broncos 7-17. I've literally seen something very similar to that. It is the future. You are going to see local papers really struggle. Because, Michael, you have a lot of options now. You have so many options of what you can watch and what you can listen to. It is, and it's not good. Like having more, we basically got into the quantity over the quality of content. And I'm not talking about just like what we do here. I mean, we clown around a lot. We like to have fun. We like to entertain. We like to give you stuff. We're not reporters. But what these sports and news writers are doing and getting out there, boots on the ground, covering these, is not an easy gig. Mike, did I ever tell you that I worked at a newspaper once?
You did not.
The Berthoud Recorder. I worked there for, I don't know, a little bit, shortly before I got this an internship here. One of the big stories was, and if you're from Berthoud and you're listening, you'll remember this. They were putting a roundabout in down on Main Street. And the story was the businesses on Main Street were not very thrilled about this because the construction was going to eat them alive. Me being a young idiot reporter wanting to get into sports reporting, I was tasked with covering that story. And going downtown to the businesses in Berthoud and interviewing them. I was not prepped. I was not told how people were viewing this. I was just told they're putting a roundabout in. You need to go interview businesses and see how they feel about it. Most of the interactions I had were very uncomfortable because people were very pissed off. They were happy that somebody was there, I guess, to write about it. But it was not pleasant. I had to go cold call, knock on a door. Hello, I'm Brady. I'm here to write a story on the roundabout going in. Oh, that terrible piece of crap. What are you trying to tell people how good it is and how great of a use of our tax dollars this is and all that kind of stuff, Mike? I did not want to do that. I would rather go write about a sports team or a win or a loss. Now, that being said, on the sports side, if you're good at what you do, even in a loss, you ask tough questions. And I'm talking about beat writers. I'm talking about writers. Everybody wants to say they have all these great questions for a coach, but when they're sitting in a press room around their peers, it's hard to ask coaches tough questions. It's uncomfortable. But you have to. It's not always ideal. Sometimes the teams you're covering suck. you gotta try to put spins on that. Is it though? Is it digging ditches? Is it backbreaking work? No. But is it necessary? I think so. Go Poke sent me something from Josh Allen. He was on with Nick Wright, those guys on Fox, and they were having some fun. And Nick Wright said something like, "Josh, let me ask you honestly. Do you think I've been fair? Do you think I have been fair? Because he has been on record talking about Josh Allen's turnovers." Josh Allen answered it the best way any pro athlete could ever answer it. I don't have the quote in front of me. I don't know if you can find it. But he basically said, yeah, I think you're fair. I think media makes the sports world go round, and we have to have guys out there talking about it, you know, building up these stories, making them seem larger than life, writing lengthy pieces in their paper or magazines or even books about said player, about certain teams. Having radio hosts get on and debate who the Broncos should re-sign or not re-sign, who the Nuggets should trade or don't trade, why this team should fire their head coach or hire this coach. It's all stuff that's going to happen anyway, but what drives people to getting into this is the talk leading up to it, is the written word leading up to it. So I really worry that seeing that Washington Post eliminates sports department, that's a scary thing, man.
Yeah, and there are a bunch of news outlets out there that are just so bad.
Awful. There's a lot of bad ones, man. And everybody can do a podcast. You know, and that's why I say, like, with radio, we do podcasts essentially, but we come here every day. We lock in some of us do. We lock in every day for the show.
What?
We get here. It's not when we feel like it. It's not, you know what? The Bears won a game last night. I'm going to sit down in my grandma's basement and I'm going to do a podcast about it. Here's what I thought about the game. Are you going to do it tomorrow? Are you going to do it the next day? You going to come in, even when the news isn't so great? Even when there's a massive tragedy going on in the country, are you going to get up early and join and do what Tanner and Brian do to talk about the really tough stuff that you don't know? Yeah, sure, it's fun to talk about wine. It's fun to talk about the Nuggets winning a game. But sometimes there's things that aren't fun to talk about, like what's going on in the country. So that's why I'm saying, like, support those media outlets, and you support them by listening to them, by reading their stuff, following them on social media. Those are the ones that are really giving you the content. And yeah, you want to be entertaining. I don't want to get on here and just, I'm going to report, here's the box score and here's what happened. I'm going to give you my opinion on it too. But we're also going to try to put that local spin on sports and news. So my advice would be to support those, because what's putting the Washington Post sports department in out of business, for one, is probably the fact that we have so many outlets now to pay attention to that advertisers start seeing that and say, why would I put my advertising dollars into this newspaper when people are reading 500 different things a day? Yes, Mike.
And I would encourage people, when they're, you know, looking for a media outlet, don't just go for a media outlet that you always agree with, like, you know, the Micah Kilpatrick Denver Broncos Hour. Like, sure, you can follow me and my Orange Kool-Aid
podcast,
but you do have to follow people who are also critical. Like, whether you agree with me or not, sometimes you do need someone on the opposite side, because you don't learn from the person that you agree with. You learn from someone that you disagree with more than the person that you agree with. So I'd say, like, a wide variety of media.
Yeah, and I'd advise you to follow podcast. Like, if you're doing a podcast, following a podcast, are they half-assing it? Do they pop on once a month and it's like, whoa, that was really good, but they're not going to do it again? Well, that's not their job.
I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of them out there that do it once a week, like you, on Football 52 later this afternoon.
Like, Joe Rogan does a podcast. It's really good. You know why it's really good?
He's been doing it for over a decade.
That's one thing. He's consistent. He does his research. He works hard to bring on different guests. Anybody can turn a mic on now. Anybody can do it. And plug it into their laptop. I have a hard time with it. Most people can do it. And they can sit down and say, I'm going to give you my thoughts on what just happened with the game tonight. Yeah, it's well and good. I'm going to give you my thoughts of what's going on politically right now. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the Eagles potentially moving to Greeley. Great. Are you going to do it tomorrow too? Be leery of the ones that are not on consistently. That means they're not paid to do it. That means they're not making money doing it, so they're not going to do it consistently. Why would they?
So it's just a hobby.
There you go. Differentiate the pros from the hobbyists. That's what you have to look for.
And sometimes hobbyists, like, sometimes they're great. But the pros are in it all the time.
Name one that does it as a hobby that's actually good.
There's one. It's more political, and it's called the Weekly Dumpster Fire.
Okay.
Like, it's more of a hobby for them, but it's still fun.
Do they make money off of it?
I don't think they make a lot of money off of it.
How many followers do they have? What's it called?
Well, they just got 100,000.
That's pretty. That's legit. I would imagine they're making money on that. 100,000
followers?
They
do have a number of sponsors.
They're making money off it. It's not a hobby. It's not a hobby. Give me one that someone's just doing it because it's a hobby. I'm just doing it for funsies.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. Like, the ones that I follow, like, they're not necessarily professional, but they've been doing it for years and they have fun doing it, or they are actual.
And we've even had people here that, you know, want to put on radio shows because they like, it's fun for them. They don't last. if it's fun for them and they're not doing it for, like, it's not dependent on your check or not, you don't commit to it regularly. You commit to it when it's fun. Dude, do you think I'm excited to come in? I'm excited. Dude, I was born to do this stuff. I like coming in even when it's boring. But do you think my talking sports is a little more difficult in July than it is right now or in August? Yes, it's tough, but I can't just say, you know what? I got nothing to talk about, Mike. We're shutting her down.
I'll play Green Onions for an hour.
You got to have a passion for it, and I think we do. I think we have fun with it. And even if it's a boring day in the news cycle, we find different topics to keep the conversations going. So I'm just saying, man, it's a bummer about the Washington Post and what's probably contributing to Washington Post and other outlets. Because I know, like, the Greeley Tribune, they still have a sports department, but it's not what it used to be. And they have Ann Delaney busts her tail. She's great. She covers everything. She does everything over there. And they just weren't getting enough, whatever, to justify a full-on sports section. Now, they have a sports section and everything, but there for a moment, they did away with it completely, if you remember that, just a few years ago. And then they kind of started to revamp it a bit, but it is a tough gig. And that's why we appreciate what most of us do here at the radio station.
It's an ever-changing world. It's an ever-changing world, and media is going to change. And, you know, 50 years from now, what is the internet going to look like? Is the internet going to be obsolete?
It's a fad.
We don't know.
It's a fad. It's a fad. It'll go away. Internet will go away.
Maybe.
No, it won't. Yes, Will County, yes, AD to the Wizards, yes. We did hit that. He is going to the Wizards. Breaking news moments ago. Anthony Davis to the Wizards. Apparently doesn't like the Washington Post discussion. So Dallas Mavericks are trading 10-time All-Star Anthony Davis to the Washington Wizards as a part of an 8-player trade. Opened the top story of the day with that. 27 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, Mike, Doug Gottlieb on KenPom ratings and why they're false. They're not good. Is he right? We'll come back with that in just a moment. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
KenPom is okay, because it takes into account how much you lose by. Okay? And it has no context for who you have, who the other team has. So in our league, okay, it's like KenPom gives you benefits because Oakland plays like 7 bye games. And so if you get close in those bye games and those teams that you play in a bye game have great years, your numbers go up, right? Yeah. So you're like, okay. So like we get dinged because Kansas doesn't really hurt us, right? But we play Buffalo, hard game, but like our team is totally different than when we play Buffalo. Like just now didn't play a minute in that game, not a minute. Yeah. Okay, we had a starter who like doesn't play right now for us. There's no accounting for that in KenPom. Mm-hmm. Then we go play St. Thomas, right? They're really, really good. Now, they pummeled us, but some of it was Dontrell's ankle. It was an open wound fracture, okay? Our team was completely screwed up after that. And they're really good at home. And then, you know, I didn't say, F it, but we had a game in another night, and I'm trying to figure out my team, so we play everybody, so it looks way worse than it actually was. Right? Then you play Minnesota, and you nearly beat Minnesota. Minnesota has these two really good, they beat, what, Indiana, somebody else at home, whatever. They almost beat Wisconsin at their place. But, like, that has no determination on us. So my point is, if you look at teams ranked ahead of us us or other teams, in the like Cleveland State, for example, like, yeah, they were terrible in the non-conference. But it's a whole new coaching staff, a whole new team, and they were they can really score. And Dayanessa is a stud. He's been a stud since last summer. So it doesn't take into account the context of Northern Kentucky didn't have two starters last game. You can't account for that in KenPom ratings. Like, they're good. They're talented. Oakland's good. Oakland's talented. Wright State, good, talented. And I would challenge that if our league gets a 14 or a 15, or if we win it, we're going to get a 16, we'll be in Dayton, that's fine. We're way better than the other 16 seeds. Everybody knows it. Because this league, everybody has some money. Whereas some leagues, nobody has any money. And we have, and in order to get that money, we play the guarantee games. And that's how you kind of fund your budget that way. And so you'll look at teams, you're like, that's not a 16 seed. Right? Like, not close. Conversely, Miami of Ohio, right? Miami of Ohio played three non-D1s, played four bye games. And I have offered to play them next year at the Crest, at the Resch. Okay, they say they want to play, we'll see. But that's a high major schedule. That's seven guaranteed wins. Seven for a mid-major, right? That's what the whole MAC did. They just, outside of UMass, they played a hard schedule, right, where they bought wins. So, again, I understand that anybody who defends Ken Pomeroy, like, hey, it's just numbers. It's not about Ken Pomeroy. It's not about Pagua. It's not about all these other forms. But understand that they lack context.
All right, there's Doug Gottlieb. Doug Gottlieb, obviously itching to get back on and rant and rave. He used to be a radio guy. Very entertaining radio guy. I'm actually a fan. He was a legendary basketball player back in the day. Is currently the head coach of the University of Wisconsin. I mean, he was a stud college basketball player for Notre Dame and then played in the NBA for a moment and then kind of drifted in and out. But talking about KenPom ratings, it's just interesting how they take and affect teams. Like, it kind of goes to our argument when Miami and Notre Dame played at the beginning of the season. What was your argument against me, Mike? What was your argument against me?
Miami, their strength of schedule was better than Notre Dame?
No, but the game specifically. When I said, well, Miami beat Notre Dame, so they should be over them, what was your argument against that?
Wasn't it strength of schedule?
No.
I don't remember. It was
Miami got in over Notre Dame.
Yeah, Miami
but
got
I said,
in over.
For people, let me just do it. For people bitching about Miami getting in over Notre Dame, what did I said? Miami beat Notre Dame. And the people like you can't remember it right now, said, well, that was early in the season. It doesn't count if it's early. Teams aren't as good. Different things happen. Yeah, you and I had that argument. It is. I've always said that. So what he's saying, like, that doesn't take into account that we didn't have this guy play, we didn't have that guy play. I guess where I look at that and say, what do you want him to do? Like, you want to tell me that Miami beat Notre Dame early in the season because it was, well, their teams aren't as good in September as they're going to be in November. Then why play in September? I mean, then why play games? Why schedule the game? So if you're telling me that the KenPom ratings, they don't take into account if a guy was hurt, they didn't have their starting point guard in that game, or, you know, they weren't the complete team that they are now. I say tough cookies, man. That's kind of part of it. You all deal with it. Everybody deals with injuries. Everybody deals with, we got better as the season went along. So Doug Gottlieb just up there complaining about where they sit in the KenPom ratings is just, I don't know. And I like Doug. I just felt like it was a lot of bitching about a system that will never be perfect. There will never be a perfect system. There's too many damn schools in college basketball to rank them 100% to perfection.
The numbers thing is great. I'm fine with KenPom. If you're going to do a human poll, the humans can take that into account. You remember a couple of years ago when Florida State lost their starting quarterback and they were not in the top four because they lost their starting quarterback. That's the human factor. The humans can do that. The Ken Palm, like, that's probably going to be too complicated. You're going to have to get some super AI to figure that out, and then people are going to be mad at that.
Yeah, I just – listen, man. I mean, he just goes into this whole thing about, well, you're also not taking into account you have to do bye games, and we take bye games, and how you perform in those bye games. Gottlieb also argued, like, while Power 4 programs benefit by getting what you call an easy win, which isn't always an easy win, Gottlieb argued that the rating systems like Ken Palm overvalue teams that lose these games by smaller margins. He added that his Green Bay squad at 12-12 is just as good as any mid-major team in the country, including the 23rd-ranked Miami Ohio Redhawks. I just feel like this is the age-old argument, man, especially when it comes to, well, now we're hitting it in football because we have an expanded playoffs, but you take different numbers into effect. There's a lot of different numbers that go into the Ken Palm ratings, man. There's offensive rating, there's defensive rating, there's net rating, there's strength of schedule rating. Like the win-loss goes into it, the conference that they're in. All those things are put into a computer and out pops the rankings. It's beyond me. Stuff that I would never want to do. Now, keep in mind, this isn't like the college basketball ESPN top 25 and all that stuff. This isn't that. This is a different thing that I'm sure people lean on when they're looking at how to make the college basketball brackets. But it's never going to be a perfect system. I get when coaches complain. There's obvious ones too. Like, I think an obvious one is, hey, who won between Miami and Notre Dame? If their records are tied and their strength of schedule is similar, who won the game? That's pretty easy. Those are sometimes easy to solve. It's not always easy to solve. The Ken Palm rankings are purely measured from an efficiency perspective. So like Penn State. I wrote this. Penn State finished 14-18 last season. They finished with a final Ken Palm ranking of 43, which is good. 43. Penn State had the 10th highest strength of schedule in the country last year. They faced a gauntlet in the conference, out of conference. They lost more than they won. From a pure efficiency standpoint, they were a better basketball team than most NIT teams and NCAA bubble teams. So when you're looking at your Ken Palm ratings, you can't just look at wins and losses. There's plenty of teams that have barely lost any games, and they're way down because you're taking in their strength of schedule, their offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, all of it. And he's arguing that you're not taking into account, well, when we played that team and maybe we struggled, we didn't have this certain guy. I mean, man, that's how you gonna put that in a computer? They were without this guy who averages 20 points a game.
Tell that to Tom Brady.
What does that mean?
I mean, everybody thought the New England Patriots were going to be awful when Tom Brady showed up and they won the Super Bowl that year.
What does that have to do with the...
Well, he was talking about injuries.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're comparing the greatest player of all time to Doug Gottlieb's program. Yeah, no, I mean, injuries just happen. But he's got a valid point. Like, that's his best player. His best player is out. His best player is out, but they're not taking account. It's tough. That's part of it. 12:43 the time, Mike. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
The Mavericks got to feel a little bit better about this trade, though. So Anthony Davis is moving around again. Dude, there's part of me that feels kind of bad for AD. He leaves the Pelicans to go join forces with LeBron James. Like that, I'm leaving the team I grew up with, the team that I absolutely dominated with. I'm going to go play second fiddle to LeBron James. And then, you know, up and down, he's hurt, whatever. And he says something like, you know, I don't like playing center. I'm more of a power forward. And, you know, we need a center. We need another guy. And then shortly after that, he's traded. Why would anybody trade? Where's he going? Oh, he's going to the Mavericks. You got Nico Harrison on line one, ready to ship off Luka. So they traded Luka Doncic, the Mavericks did, to get Anthony Davis, Max Christie, Markieff Morris, Max Kleber, and a 2029 first-round pick. That was a bad trade for the Mavs. Good for the Lakers. You get one of those guys. All you need is one, and you got one of the best in Luka. So that was a bad one for the Mavs. This one's actually not that bad. This one actually kind of makes sense. You know, the fact that, okay, you're getting rid of a good player that's hurt all the time, and you're going to get two first-round draft picks out of this, some pretty decent players. Anthony Davis was probably not going to be the reason, was probably not going to be your championship ticket. You're better off going Cooper Flagg, get Kyrie Irving back, and use all those draft picks, start building it up for the future. This is a much better move, but Anthony Davis is getting caught in the middle of all these moves. I know, he was a Laker. We're supposed to hate him. There's a part of me that kind of feels bad for him. 12:50 the time. Will the Nuggets do anything? We'll talk about that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post will join me. Stick with us.
Two parades.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Hear Nuggets and Avalanche games on Northern Colorado's voice.
Yeah!
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Dude, Nico Harrison, the fire GM from the Dallas Mavericks, his life's just getting a little bit worse. Even though he's gone, he can't hurt you anymore, Mavericks fans. The guy that was supposed to be like, oh, we can build around Anthony Davis, he's gone. But the Mavs got a haul. It's NBA trade deadline season. What are the Nuggets going to do? Buy or sell coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.